share with you from the scriptures and what the Lord has been impressing upon me. And I've been thinking about water that time of year when we think about being near water and enjoying the refreshing beauty that we have around us. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd also like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. This lighthouse is a famous lighthouse. Perhaps somebody recognizes it. If you know for sure where it is, let me know that you know where it is. It's on the east coast of Canada.
East Coast.
That's right. One of our famous landmarks. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, is Matthew is writing about the king. And in Matthew's Gospel, we've already seen the genealogy explained and the baptism of Jesus, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And when we get to chapter 4 and verse 13, we see Jesus on the move. And it says in Matthew 4:13, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned." As we think of longer days and we think of summer, we think of light and how much we enjoy it after a long winter. And the nation of Israel has sat through a very long winter in their history. And when Jesus came on the scene, he was like a breath of fresh heavenly air. And Matthew describes it as the people sitting in darkness, seeing a great light. He was quoting from Isaiah the prophet. And it's interesting, the words that Jesus spoke after he appeared in Capernaum, the first words we have recorded are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So as light penetrates the darkness, we see that the theme of repentance comes along with that light. This morning, I titled this message, "Clarity is a Rarity." In a world that seems to be full of fog and noise and mixed messages, in fact, messages that are untrue, that are confusing, we see in the midst of the darkness in this world a light that shines. And that light is a person. And he is like a lighthouse in a stormy world that shines the light of who he is and what he has come to do so that people may come into that light and repent and forge a relationship with the Savior of the world. That's the message of the Gospel. And we need to keep that message clear. And it is rare for people to hear that message clearly today because there are so many voices and so much noise that is in the world and all of the isms that go on. And a lighthouse, and this is a pseudo-Latin expression, light bulb beware. Light of bulbous beware us. And that is really what a lighthouse is. It's a warning. Sometimes mariners who are in dense fog or in darkness of night need to be steered away from danger, from the cliffs, from the shoreline, from coral reefs, from hazards. And the lighthouse provides a signal to the ship that they are close to such an area. An email joke that went around was a ship that was heading towards another ship, and so the captain radioed and said, "This is the destroyer of the U.S. Naval Fleet, and I want you to move out of the way." And the response was, "This is a lighthouse, and I'm not going anywhere." And there are some things that will not move. And truth is one of those things that will not change, no matter how much we want to have it as seen as confusion. And the lighthouse that you see before you today is a lighthouse that is off the coast of Scotland. It's about 12 miles off the coast. And it was built from 200 years ago. It just passed its 200th anniversary. It was built in 1810. And the builder was Robert Stevenson. He's given the credit for it. And it was built on a rock that had claimed numerous ships every winter in those fierce storms in the North Sea. And finally, when a warship called the HMS York was lost, the government decided it was time to put a lighthouse up there. It's called Bell Rock because the first warning was a bell. And that lasted a year until the first pirate came along and liked the bell, and that was the end of the warning system. And so it was determined that a light needed to be put on the rock, but how would they do it? The rock that it sits upon was invisible under the sea 20 hours a day. And as they embarked on this ambitious project, which took over 2 years, they actually had to live on a ship about 2 kilometers away and then go back and forth to work on it about 4 hours a day when the weather permitted. Finally, they built a housing on it that they could stay on the rock and they could work there. But after 2 years, it was finished. And today, you see there's a helipad there in the water. And there are now solar panels, and it is an unmanned lighthouse. And this is an example of what a lighthouse is supposed to be. It's in the middle of the most dangerous place, and it warns people to stay away. And the lighthouse is a beacon of hope so that the mariners that come near might be spared from shipwreck. Some things need to be clear, like a diamond. It's interesting as we look at the sparkling character of a diamond. This one happens to be around 500 carats or so. So if any of you girls are looking for a token of love, you know, aim for something big. And there are some huge diamonds out there. I think some of them are nearly 800 carats when they're uncut. Some of the famous ones are 500 carats, and they are magnificent to look at. And there are similarities when we look at things like a lighthouse and we look at a diamond. The similarity is this. A lighthouse is a beacon of hope. It is something that sends a clear message across to those that are in need. And when we think of the lighthouse, we think of the fact that it does what it's supposed to do. It gives light. It spreads that light into darkness so that people can see where they are, they can see their condition, they can see where they need to be, and they can do something. In other words, the lighthouse gives people an opportunity to repent. Right? The ship is heading towards the shore, and then they see the lighthouse, they repent, they change their mind, they turn around, and they go in the opposite direction. And so it gives them an opportunity to avert disaster. Light can do that. It illuminates. It reveals. It uncovers. The diamond is clear. And the more precious the diamond, the fewer the flaws. And the more inclusions that are in the diamond, the less value there is. And so a flawless diamond is quite rare, especially a large, flawless diamond. And we see both the light of the lighthouse and the clarity of the diamond speaking to us about the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness but have the light of life. And he proved that he is qualified to be the shining light because of his perfect character without sin like this diamond. Absolutely sterling character. The Lord Jesus clearly is the only one that proved that he came from heaven because of his magnificent moral character, his perfect life. He is pure. He's altogether lovely. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us or given to us that we should be called the sons of God. The love of God is seen in the Lord Jesus. I want to just read to you from 1 John in chapter 3. And it says that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world was in darkness. It couldn't see him until he came. And only to those whose eyes were open could he be revealed to them. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Things that we learn about the Lord Jesus, not only as the light of the world, is that he wants us to be that light too. And not only as the clear Son of God, as the sinless one and the pure one, he wants us to be pure too. So when we think of the Lord Jesus and his character and what he came to do and how he revealed himself, he wants to reproduce himself in us. That's what it means to become a child of God. It means that you become part of God's family, and you start to carry some of those family traits. Your blue eyes even come from two parents that had brown eyes. Not very likely. You take on family traits because of your close connection to your parents. The Lord Jesus is pure. The Lord Jesus is love. This picture is another one that I found very interesting. It deals with clear water. Where do you find clear water? Well, explorers that went into Lake Superior hundreds of years ago would take a rope and put a rock on the end of it, drop the rock down, and they would measure how deep that rock could go before it would disappear. And it was over 70 feet before they lost the rock. Now, if you try that today, you'd lose it pretty quickly. But that's how clear the water used to be. And this place is, you might know where it is by looking at those statues. Easter Island. And it's called Anacana Beach. And it is apparently the clearest water, that is seawater, on Earth. And what makes it so clear is the lack of life in the water. There is no plankton or chlorophyll because the currents are so fast moving, they can't stay in that area. And so they are the clearest waters anywhere in the world except perhaps the Arctic and the Antarctic. The lack of material in that water, the lack of things that are in the water is what produces its clarity. There are no things that would contaminate it. And that's a picture for us again of the Lord Jesus. He is clearly the sinless, holy Lamb of God. And one of the things that we learn about clear water, and we think of clear water, this is kind of ironic. There's no life here. But when we think of clear water, we think of living water, that we can drink living water. And that living water is the Lord Jesus. He said, come to me and to drink of that living water. He told a woman in John chapter 4, who was thirsting for living water, who was giving him physical water, he said, I'll take you to a well where you'll never thirst again. The Lord Jesus is able to do that. He is a fountain of living water. And so we see pictures of him in the scriptures. We see, if you go to the next chapter, John chapter 5, there was a man in a pool. And he was not able to get into the pool when he was hoping to be healed of his sickness. And we're like that man, and we're like that woman. That's why John tells us these stories, to make us identify with these characters so that we can put ourselves into the storyline, and we can say, that's me in there. I was thirsty, and I needed someone who could fill my cup, and so that I would never thirst again. I was someone who needed to be placed in the healing waters and to be given life. And we see John telling us those stories. And we see the Lord Jesus as the lighthouse. We see him as the perfect Son of God, and as the one who is the true life giver. And I say all of that to bring us to this point. Clarity is a rarity. In this foggy world, this is a lighthouse that stands sure. It is the gospel. And unfortunately, I have to confess to you that sometimes I am ashamed to stand up for what I know to be absolutely true. It is the power of God and the salvation. People out there, and maybe some of you in here, need this power in your life. I know that I need it. I need it every day. But I needed it one day when I recognized myself as a sinner that needed a Savior. I wasn't young. I was just into my 20s. But I realized that He was able to do what I could not do. And this verse is so powerful in Romans chapter 1. It is the absolute power of God for everyone who believes. And that's where the battle is. People are stuck in darkness. They need to see the light. People don't realize how much they're loved until they meet the altogether lovely one and realize how much He loves them. And people who are spiritually dead need His life, giving power to bring them life that will be life everlasting. And it's because of the gospel. We should be rejoicing that we have the privilege of being able to share the gospel with anyone that God puts into our family, into our path, into our place of work, our neighbors. We have a lot of work to do. There are so many people that need to know about the power of God. You realize if you watch the news how complicated life is, and yet the Bible is a book that's full of simple truth. And as I thought about it, I summarized it this way. It's just about two people, you know, when you look at the Bible. It's about you and your Savior. No matter how you cut it, no matter where you read, you put yourself into the story. You say, that's me. And when you keep reading, you find out that God is love. And that Jesus is willing to save you no matter where you are or what you've done. And so the question I wrote down is this. Am I willing to be blessed forever? Absolutely. Are you willing to be blessed forever? What's the price you have to pay? It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to say no to self. You're going to have to say yes to God. That's what keeps us from a living relationship with God, is we get in the way. We become more important than our souls, than the need that we have. The psalmist said, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Let me tell you, I have simple faith. I believe what God says in his word about me. And I believe what God says in his word about this time. When we read 1 John, he goes through this trilogy of light and love and light. So he begins in chapter 1 and he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And what a contrast that is to the human heart, full of darkness. My heart was dark with sin until the Savior came. God is light. We see also in John chapter, 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the big Bible word, propitiation, the atonement, the price that was paid in full to reconcile us to a holy God. And if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then finally, he talks about life, and he says this in 1 John 5, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. We talk about life, God talks about eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Make no mistake about it. You can't get that life by being full of good works, by being a nice guy, by being a great neighbor, by being a good Samaritan. It won't happen. The life that we need is eternal life, and it's only given to us in Jesus. He is the one who has life. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The gospel, clear and simple. It is good news. As I watch CNN and see planes crashing and people out in protest and misery and suffering, they need good news. We need good news in Sault Ste. Marie. And it's the gospel that is able to save us forever from this particular thing that none of us really likes to think about. The penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Jesus paid for that penalty. He died on a cross because of the penalty of sin. And it is powerful, as we've been reading Romans chapter 1, because it's able to save to the uttermost. And it is a Christ-centered message. This goes against the grain of humanity. This goes against everything you would hear in the news. It's all about me. The gospel is all about Christ. In him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead bodily. Colossians was up on the screen earlier. Nick was reading that to us. That in all things, he should have what? The preeminence. When I want to be number one, I want to have the mind of God. If you think you're number one, you're absolutely wrong. That's the problem with kids. They wake up in the morning, princess is up, honey. Little princess here, let the party begin. Right? Oops. We're leading down the wrong road. They have to realize that they need a Savior too. That's why we show them to Sunday school here. So whatever the question, Christ is the answer. He is the solution to every problem. And so, he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. That is clear. There's no confusion in that. There's no ambiguity where Jesus says, well, you can trust anyone and anything you want. That's a lie. He made it very clear, I am the truth. There is no other way. And so we should never be ashamed of him or the gospel that declares what he has done for us and what he can do for each one. Clarity. We need it so badly. Clarity. Like you to look at this confusing little poster that's up here from Jeremiah. I've been trying to figure out Jeremiah. And it's a book that has a lot of mixed messages if you read it and try to understand it, because it's not written chronologically. This is a famous passage in Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And that's true. Those are God's plans for us. He wants to bless us. "Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me with all your heart when you seek me with, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Has anyone here ever sought God in your life and said, "You know what, I came up empty. I looked for him and looked for him and looked for him. I couldn't find him anywhere." Jeremiah's promise actually was given to the nation of Israel. And they're a good example of what we shouldn't be like. They were naughty. They were really naughty. In fact, they were guilty of something that I don't think anybody in this room would want to be guilty of, which is idolatry. I was thinking about the Ten Commandments. I don't know, when was the last time you laid in bed and you started thinking about the Ten Commandments? Well, I said to my wife, I was laying in bed thinking about the Ten Commandments. And I thought about them this way. They reveal to us what God is like. He used to say, "If you want to know what I'm like, look at my commandments. There is no other God beside me. There's no other name that comes close to my name. My laws are given for your blessing. And when I say keep a day holy, I mean keep a day holy." That's what he told the children of Israel. "You honor your father and mother because I expect you to honor me. You always tell the truth. You don't hate anyone. You don't kill anyone. Because that's what I'm like. I'm full of love. I tell the truth all the time. I don't covet what other people have. What I give people is what I give them because I bless them." When we think of God, we think of someone that we don't fully understand, except he revealed himself to us. And one of the things that he has revealed to us is that if we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. So if you're this morning and you say, "You know, I must be looking in all the wrong places. I checked it out and I don't think there's anything to it." Then my advice is, go back and keep looking. Because if you seek him, the promise is here. Anyone that's ever sought the Lord finds him. And finds him. He is able to bless. Jeremiah was telling people who had already been attacked by the Assyrians that the Babylonians were coming. And that they were going to be taken captive. And they were going to be leaving home behind. And there would be nothing left. And they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And his promise was, "And you're going to go back to the land, because I'm promising you that's what's going to happen." He disciplined them for a reason, because they were rebellious. You know, many times the problems we run into in life is because we're disobedient. And you say, "I'm having a hard time finding God." Well, have you told God that you'd like to be serious about finding him? In other words, are you serious about your disobedience? Are you serious about your sin? Jeremiah says you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. The success is 100%. The key to that success is not found in my hand. It's found in his hands. And this is what he says in the book of Revelation. "I have the keys." You want success in your life? You need Jesus. Because he has the keys of life. He has the keys of hell and of death. This is written in the first chapter of Revelation. John fell at his feet. He was so afraid of what he saw when he saw the Lord Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, "Don't be afraid. Behold, I am he that lives and was dead, and I am alive." That's the key. That's the power of the gospel. That's the clarity of the message from the lighthouse. He is a rock. He is a light. He's full of love. He wants to give you life. He has the keys. You can't lose. Listen to a television message. Young man was a preacher, and it sounded like a pretty amazing story. He lived under an overpass on a highway. He used to go to the 7-Eleven for food, and his name was Daryl. And Daryl said, you know, my life changed when a woman took me in to raise me, to give me a home. And he said, this is what she did that changed my life. She poured Jesus into me. Every day. You never lose when you pour Jesus into a little heart. Or into your spouse. Or your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, whoever it may be. Pour Jesus into the situation. His grace is sufficient. He has the keys. He has the power. On our wall in our family room, we have this text up, this Bible text from the book of Proverbs. And it reminds me that we need to trust in the Lord every minute of every day. I'm going to go through this with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's the goal that Solomon had for his children when he wrote the Proverbs. He wants us to trust him with all of our life, not just our spiritual life. He wants us to trust him completely, body, soul, and spirit. Put your hands in the hand of the man from Galilee. You need to have that faith to trust him with all your heart. And not to do this. This is the hard part. I'm not telling you to take your brain and lock it away in a safe somewhere and don't use it again. In fact, you can love the Lord with all your mind. An intelligent faith. But don't depend on your intelligence. Remember a man always saying to me, I have a $60 billion computer right here. I don't need God. And he died. He died with a $60 billion computer. Big deal. Yeah, we have a mind. But don't let it deceive you. Trust it in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Not your experiences. You don't know what I've been through. I love talking to older people. But invariably, we old people always like to tell you stories. You don't know what it was like when I was young. Well, young people today face a whole different set of challenges than old people do. Or did. Not your experiences. When I don't understand and his direction seems contrary to where I'm at in life, that's when you have to trust me. That's when you have to trust me. Remember, when you're in that ship and you're headed to the lighthouse, you're thankful for that lighthouse. No matter how miserable you are in that ship in the midst of that storm, no matter how dark is your darkness, remember that the light is there to guide you home. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways. Many a time I've been up for hours trying to figure something out. And I get reminded, did you pray about that? Should have thought of that earlier. As it comes to that, in all of your ways of knowledge, want to be involved about the little things. I lost my eraser. I wonder where my eraser is. You know, that's a little thing. God knows where your eraser is. Did you ask him for it? God knows where the problem is in your heart. Because that's the heart of the problem, isn't it? He knows how to fix it. Don't put him away somewhere and say, I'll call you when I need you. The lighthouse is there shining 24-7. Sometimes you think, it's funny, I don't need any lighthouse today. You know, something at Bell Rock, there are rocks hiding beneath the surface. And in life, danger awaits us around the next corner. That we have no idea what's coming down the pipe tomorrow. But it's coming. But we know who holds tomorrow. We don't need to acknowledge my intelligence, my abilities, my resources. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And the result is he directs our paths. He directs our paths. I remember listening to an old timer tell me a story how God broke his leg. And he said, he did, he broke my leg. And he saved my life. And he was about to go out on the ice. And before he could get out on the ice, his leg broke. Had he gone on the ice, he would have gone through the ice. He thanked God for broken leg. We don't know what will happen to us. Sometimes we don't know why are we such wounded warriors. Because we need time in the hospital of God, with the Spirit of God, with Jesus working in our circumstances to direct our paths. He'll give us purpose, direction, fulfillment. So clarity is a rarity unless the Lord has what? He has all of me and he has all of you. Those are the keys. My heart, my mind, my life, my all. Does he have all of those compartments of you? Have you bowed your knee to him and asked him, Lord, just take over. I'm tired of being the boss. I'm tired of doing it my own way. I want to do it your way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. And he will direct your path. Seek the Lord, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. There was an old song. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? I can tell you, it would be shambles for most of us. We would have hit the rocks a long time ago. We would have been running on empty years ago. Where would this ship be? We'd be nowhere. We'd be lost. But with Jesus in the vessel, with Jesus in my boat, I can face the storm. And so can you. Another song that was written had these words in it. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Is there anything between your soul and the Savior today? Do you need to do business with God? It might be, I need a relationship with him. I need to know Jesus. I need to bring Jesus into my situation. I need to be out of the fog. I want to be in the light. I want to bathe in his love. I want to enjoy the life that he's given me. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. We sing this song sometimes. I don't have the little alternate songbook to get all the words, but it has this phrase in it. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes and let me see. Have your eyes been open? Do you see him? We sang earlier this morning, sometimes I see him. Where? On Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading. He was dying there for you and for me. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. We really do have a wonderful Savior. This morning, I want us to rejoice in the light of Jesus. I want us to rejoice in the love of Jesus. And I want you to rejoice with me in the life that Jesus has given to each one of us. And we have these beautiful words that we sing, all the beautiful hymns that we sing, that reverberate this simple truth. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. That's what it's all about. The news is over from yesterday. Tomorrow's news hasn't been written. But today's news in heaven is there's a sinner that has repented. Maybe today there's one of you that has repented. And it doesn't mean just repenting and having a relationship with Jesus for the first time. But it means your relationship isn't just what it should be with Jesus. We can repent every day. And you know whose arms are wide open to receive us? To forgive us and to love us? Jesus. That's how much he loves us. So may God bless this truth to our hearts. May we enjoy our blessed Redeemer. And may the light of his love shine in our lives for his glory. Father, we're thankful for our blessed Redeemer this morning, the one that came to shine the light in our darkness, that came to set us free, that was there when we sought him. And we pray that this morning we would continue to seek him with all our hearts. Bless us as we part. Thank you for the country that we live in. We pray for our leaders today. As many laws that are before us are difficult to follow. And yet we follow the higher law of God, the law of love, the law of truth, and the law that leads us closer to you. Bless each one as we part, and we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. If you're here visiting for the first time, there's someone in guest reception to greet you, has a gift for you, and we welcome you. So thank you, and may the Lord bless you today.